Coming up on TMS, my ears are a foot apart.
The call is coming from inside the hearse.
It came in a flesh box.
Backyard men, all right.
BBQ and on.
Dirty diseased Denverites.
Limp early day.
Daryl was Skeletor the whole time.
I knew it. How many condoms can you fit in a pumpkin?
Blockbuster multiverse theory.
Playing the brass tacks with Bill and more on this episode of The Morning Stream.
Woke up this morning. Got some gabagoo. And then I woke up the next day and got some gabagoo.
Hi, I'm Rue McClanahan, and I'm just about to host this video on the loving care of your cat.
The Morning Stream.
The Morning Stream. If God was a villain, he would have been me.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome to TMS. It's the Morning Stream for October 25th, 2022. I'm Scott Johnson. It's not Brian Ibbett. He's homesick. He's ill today. And so Bobby Frankenberger is currently occupying his seat. Bobby, hello. Welcome back.
Woke up this morning.
You know what's funny about that is every time I watch anything on HBO,
yeah,
that was the very first HBO series I ever watched was The Sopranos.
Oh wow!
And so every time I watch anything on HBO, we'll be watching Last Week Tonight or anything, and it plays that HBO like whoa, and I immediately,
yeah,
as soon as it's done, I start singing that song,
the Gabagoo,
and my wife. Yeah. Hates it, but but every time we could be watching anything, and it's
pretty iconic. I think that I'm trying to think of the first full series, like top to bottom, I saw on HBO. I think it probably was Sopranos as well, now that I think about it.
It was also my first Netflix series.
Oh, that was on Netflix for a while? I didn't know that.
Well, no, well, it was back when you got the DVDs in the mail.
Oh, got it.
And we paid for, because you had to pay extra for getting more than one DVD. And so we paid for the extra to get two DVDs so that, because, you know, you would get the DVD in the mail.
Yeah.
And you'd watch it. Yeah. And then you'd send it back whenever you were done. Mm-hmm. And then they'd send you the next thing on your list, right?
Right, right.
So we got the two so that we could... so that we could stagger it so that there would be, we could truly binge it and not have to wait.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So that we'd watch one DVD, send it back while we were watching the next one. They'd be sending us the following one in the mail, and we just go back and forth like that.
You know, there's an alternate timeline, and you're a science podcaster, so this will land well for you. There's an maybe not. There's no science that proves alternate timelines, but there's an alternate timeline where Blockbuster wasn't stupid and saw the Netflix style thing, the rental via mail thing coming, and got on top of it and owned it. And there was no Netflix, or Netflix was kind of an also ran, or, you know, kind of a red box sort of thing. And we are now, you know, looking at massive series, original series on the Blockbuster streaming platform.
The Blockbuster
service.
Network.
Yeah, which is huge, bigger than all of them, big multinational thing with, you know, the action and animation and television and comedy and all the big stars and the whatnot and winning Oscars and all this business. I always think about this, like, had they just had a little forethought.
Yeah,
it was theirs.
Because they did try to do what Netflix did, but way
too late. Way too late. Yeah.
They it came was late. Very obvious that they were like, maybe we should try this. Maybe we don't have any other ideas.
Yeah, and it was okay. It was okay as a service. It's just, it was just too little too late. The name, you know, the name Netflix had become synonymous with the service. And so if I were them, if I would have been them, what I would have done is then had a little more forethought and said, all right, well, let's get ahead of wherever the Netflix thing is that we missed the boat on, and that's streaming. And just have somebody there who knew, who understood it. They just never had that. It just, in their days where it bums me out, and I don't even know why. I don't care that much about Blockbuster. I just, I'm interested in how that would have played out, I guess.
Yeah, something went wrong, and they were fumbling or doing something, because it's not that they the reason they failed couldn't have been because it was just another streaming service, right? Because we have tons of them now.
Right.
Clearly, right. People don't just need one.
Right.
They needed to get like make deals and have exclusives or something like that.
Well, you got to remember, okay, so from a historical standpoint, when Netflix shifted to streaming, it was laughed at. They were teased. It was kind of bad in the beginning. They had really crappy selection. It was a really kind of limp early day for that service, and no one else was doing it because they all thought it was a folly.
And that's like, what, I gotta watch this show on my computer?
That's the mistake people made. They couldn't see past it. And I'm not saying Reed Hastings is a genius, but they could see, at least I think they thought they could see past it. And they were willing to just push forward and go for it. Whereas Blockbuster's is like, nah, we're staying with what, hey, people want to walk in and browse these shelves. That's what they want. It's like, no, they don't. That shit's going away.
It seems like they were just not looking at the service right now. They weren't looking at what the deliverable is. They were looking at what they were building, the technology they were building.
That's right.
And so they were, I think that's probably a big thing. They were like, well, we're going to keep going because, yeah, maybe people think it's weird to stream movies and TV onto your computer and sit in your uncomfortable computer chair and watch your TV show. But if we get this streaming thing figured out, we can stream to anything.
TVs and devices and, you know,
staying ahead of that whole thing.
It fascinates me. So when people make fun of them for having a mobile game service or having investing in cloud gaming or any of that, and they tease Netflix for it, I always go, I don't know if I'd be teasing them exactly. Like they kind of see some, they read the tea leaves. They're not always right.
Right.
But they might be. So maybe don't scoff at it. Instead, maybe get ready to do your own thing instead of being Blockbusters of the current day. I don't know. Right. This has been your edition of Tech Morning Stream, TMS. We hope you enjoyed it. taking a little card out of Tom's deck, I guess, today. Anyway, hey, I got some stuff today I want to talk about before we get going. And glad, by the way, to have you here. Did I already say that? Yeah, it's good to have Bobby here. Thanks for stepping in.
I can't hear it enough, so you can say it as many.
I think I've said it like four times today. I think I'll probably do it.
I feel very welcome. It's nice.
Well, and Brian, we wish him nothing but the fastest and most successful recovery from whatever flu bug one of you Denver, dirty, greasy Denver tadpoolers gave him when you were all hanging out the other day. One of you breathed on him wrong, and now he's got the bug central, man. I don't know what he has. We don't know yet. And he's in
worth
the chat.
Worth it. I bet Brian thinks it's totally worth it to see all of those great listeners.
Worth every cough, every sneeze, every headache. Yeah. I don't know if he took the COVID. Hopefully it's not COVID 2 because he just had that. I don't want that again. I don't want that for him again. Don't have COVID
again.
There's
the new COVID going around.
Shut up, really?
It's a new variant. It's like BQ1 is what they're calling it. You know, we had BA5 and BA2.
Do they have to put a Q in there? They had to put a Q in. Could they have not done a different letter? We got 26 of them.
I wondered. We skipped BK. That would have been a great one.
Yeah, the Burger King virus. Yeah. Get yours today. It comes with a toy and everything. But seriously, though, like if you're going to give it and listen, if you're listening at home, you know why I'm saying this. Don't put Q in things because now someone's going to have a fun day of going, oh, you know what this means? The conspiracy deepens. The deep state, the brr, brr, brr. It's going to get stupid if this becomes a dominant variant that starts.
Be QAnon.
No. Be not QAnon is my statement I'd like to make. All right. Yeah. Let's get to this thing here. I got a text here I want to play or read. This is from an anonymous listener, and this is a follow-up on some Star Wars talk that Brian and I had. It says, Cotton Ryan, is there any Star Wars series you would watch that takes place outside of any of the Star Wars 1 through 9 timelines? And I got to thinking about this. That's all we have, right? Nothing doesn't at least fit one of the 1 through 9 eras in movies, I mean, and television. So we don't have... I know we have the high. What's the high era or the high empire?
High Republic.
High Republic. High Republic. We got a show coming for that, I think, at some point.
Yes,
but
Also, do you consider the Obi-Wan series to be outside of the 1 through 9 timeline?
No.
Because it's right before it.
Well, No.
It doesn't, because it's right in the middle.
It's after, it's in between. So it's still part of that thing. We don't have anything that's prior to Phantom Menace, and we don't have anything post Last Jedi or whatever the last one was. What was it called? The Replacement Jedi, or Hey, We're All Jedi Here. What is it? What was it called? What was the last unforgettable film?
The Last Jedi?
The Last Jedi. Thanks. The Unforgettable Jedi.
The Unforgettable Final Jedi.
Yeah, that's the one. That's a bad movie. Anyway, we don't have anything past that. So personally, as much as
it's
like...
Oh, the Rise of Skywalker. I'm sorry.
Oh, is it Rise of Skywalker? Honestly, those three names of the last three movies completely are all conflated. I don't have any compass on that at all.
Yeah.
And I apologize to everybody who thinks that's a bad thing, but those three movies are really throwaway for me. But anyway, the point is, nothing past that either. So
yeah,
there's an opportunity here, and maybe it's with the High Republic, maybe it's with something else, but even the best of the stuff, like right now, I would argue Andor is maybe the most in-depth thing they've done, like the most dramatically challenging and like, you know, I don't know, off the beaten path, or kind of off the safety net that they usually stay in with Star Wars content. And I really respect it for that, but it's still in that time frame, and a very important part of that time frame. So yeah, I would like more is the answer.
I can see post Star Wars 1 through 9 more easily than prior, right? Because like the 1 through 9, that's the reason that's a story, is because that's when the troubles began, right?
Like, yeah.
That's when Palpatine was making his rise to power. That's when the Skywalkers were a thing. You know, that's when it all went down and started. But what do we know about before that? Was there like a period of time between the Darth Revan period and the series, the 1 through 9? Was that all like a quiet time for the galaxy?
Good question. I know there's a lot of books and stuff, but since none of that is canon anymore, and they can still choose from it if they want to, or pull from it. I mean, I would love Old Republic story stuff. Doesn't have to.
Yeah,
just...
that's all really cool stuff. I love that, because there's so much. There's so many, you know. There's so many lightsabers.
Oh, everywhere. Yeah, dude. Lightsabers you know? Everywhere. I mean, I realize, like, the games, which is what most people associate with that, you know, there's a story there, and you mentioned Revan and all that, but I would love it if they would just, like, I don't know, just give me something brand new, and don't be afraid to do it. Andor is in the timeline, but is the closest they've come to doing something new and surprising me with it. And it doesn't mean I don't like the other stuff. I love Mandalorian, and I can't wait for season three. It's not that. It's just, you know, just pull out a little bit and go, you know what? We don't have to be so careful with this stuff. Like, go a little nuts. And I don't even know what I mean when I say that. So it's not even really fair. It's not even really a criticism. It's just I'd like to see more like Andor, but give me a timeline that I don't already know about.
Yeah, I think these series have shown us that George Lucas did create a very compelling world.
Yeah.
That everybody likes, and that there's lots of room to tell stories in, so let's do more.
Maybe he'll walk up to those guys and go, "Look, I know you paid me $4 billion for this, and I really appreciate it, but I got an idea or two. You open to my ideas?" And then they'll say, "Sure, George, looking good in that sweet turtleneck. What do you have for us?" And he'll say,
"Well, my idea is that Willow and Howard the Duck meet up on Tatooine."
Like, I think it's dangerous, because I don't think he's got good ideas anymore. So don't listen to him is what I'm saying.
Right.
Really what I was hoping for there was just an opportunity to do my George Lucas impression, and it happened. Thank you.
We all saw right through that, but we liked it anyway.
You all knew what was going on the whole time. Anonymous texter, thank you for that. If you'd like to send in your own anonymous or anonymous, I don't care. Have your name on them.
Numbus.
Put your names on there, but it's fine with me. Anyway, that number is 801-471-0462. You can text anytime for this or any other show on the Frog Pants Network, and we'll read your texts on the air. Also, I need your help today. I got a voicemail for the show that I don't know what it means. And
okay.
It might even be somebody in the chat who made this sound. Let's figure it out. Okay, I'm going to play this for you. What is this voicemail?
Ow.
What do you think that is?
Ow.
I don't know who that is or what the deal is.
It sounds kind of like TV's Travis.
Okay, all right. So let's now I've got TV's Travis in my head. Let me see if I hear Travis.
Ow.
Is he saying ow?
I heard hell.
chat room, there's a similarity to this.
Oh, Jesus.
But it's not quite the same.
Ow.
I don't know who that is. Not
TV's
me.
TV's Travis
says
is in
guys,
the chat says not it's
Travis.
Not him.
Okay. I hear Yanny.
Laurel, clearly.
Yeah, Laurel, come on. I heard Green Needle. I don't know what's wrong with you guys. Definitely not me. Someone says it sounds like me. It's not me.
Ow.
I have no idea or what they're trying to say. And why would you just call and leave that? You know what? I know what this is. Okay, so Mondays and Wednesdays we do the Tad Pooley feud stuff, right? The game show Brian runs.
Yeah.
When people try to call in to be the live caller, if I don't choose them, either they waited too long and it rings through, or I've already picked someone and someone calls behind them, they go to voicemail. Yeah. That's probably
somebody. So it is someone saying hell.
Yeah, it's probably them. It's their consternation.
Yeah.
It's them going, oh, man.
Be courteous. Whoops.
They're like, I'm in this time. Yeah, I'm in this time. I'm going to make it. And then it went to voicemail. And they're like, oh, hell.
Yeah, oh, hell.
Hell.
He's saying hell. All right, well, whoever that is, I'm sure you're hearing yourself now and going, oops, I would love to know who you are. I think that's awesome, and don't feel bad. You can always leave a voicemail there if you like. It's fine. We don't always play them on the show, but occasionally I get weird shit like that, and I have to play it. All right, finally this morning, I'm going to read an email. Yeah, that's right, an email.
Send and receive email.
This is from B, who wrote into themorningstream@gmail.com and says, you guys have done support before, right? Even a little. What you're doing is calling an unsupported configuration. I think this is referring to
smoke alarms.
Smoke alarms, correct. So this is about like the chirping smoke alarms.
You and Brian were talking about this, and a suggestion you made, Scott, was why do they make it such a very, very difficult to tolerate sound.
Yeah.
Why don't they make it something more pleasant? That's what this is in response to.
Or not even more pleasant, my problem isn't so much the unpleasantness, just for the record here. My problem is it's impossible to locate because
brief. Read the email because I think that's a good response to the email.
Fair enough. So. He says, you guys have done support before, right? Even a little. What you're doing is called unsupported configuration. I.e., you are shooting yourself in the foot, so stop complaining that it hurts. Ow! Bang! Ow! Bang! Right? Like Bart does with the electrical cupcake or whatever it was in that episode.
Right, right.
He says, replace your smoke alarms or batteries long before they go dead or chirp warnings. He says, that's the only supported configuration, and everything else is designed to be as painful as necessary.
I do agree with that.
You got to know what if a calm, soothing voice whispers to you lovingly about how your battery is. You're never going to replace them. Love, B. Well, B. Praise B.
So I think that in a perfect world, you're right. In a perfect world, I will know when the battery is going to die. I will put the battery in.
Yeah.
I will set some sort of an alarm or a Google Calendar event for a week before it's going to die, and then I'll do it. But even if I did know how long that battery was going to last, I guarantee you the day, because I do this with my air filters in the house.
Yeah.
I needed to replace those a month ago,
and
they're still needing to be replaced. I have the date, and I say, oh, okay, I'll do that tomorrow.
Yeah. And then you
I'm busy
again.
Today. I'm doing something else right
then
now. I'll do that tomorrow.
Again.
And we'll continue. And then the chirp will happen.
Yeah. You're not wrong. Or in the case of the filters, you're going to just be like, why is it still cold and there's no heat? Oh, because the filter's as thick as a freaking, brick. We got to.
Well, what happens here is that the season changes and then the air conditioner breaks because there's a brick in the return.
Okay, here's an idea. I've got this solved. I'm gonna agree with the emailer, and I'm gonna agree with what you said as well. I think all of this stuff that we've said is true around this, including my irritation with the chirp. So here's what you do. If the things are supposed to go dead in 10 months, let's say, at month 8, let's have pretty lights or something instead. Something that I'll just notice while I'm in the room, like, oh, right, I've got like 2 months before it starts chirping at me. And then just give me that little window of like, you know what, we probably should do those early. Like, at least, that's all I'm asking. Instead, you got time bombs. They're basically time bombs that you think it's 10 months, but what if you got a 9-volt battery that's just not up to snuff? You know, somebody at the factory just farted one out and it's not great. You put that one up in there and that lasts 3 months. How are you even supposed to know until the beep and you don't even know what room it's in? Like, I'm telling you, there's better ways still. On top of this very reasonable, logical email, I'm saying there's still ways to improve things, is what I'm saying.
And I agree. Also with the emailer that I just disagreed that it would work to try to do it ahead of time. I agree that you need it to be annoying because that's how you get it changed. And it's a safety thing. You're trying to make sure your house doesn't completely burn down.
Right.
But your problem on that episode was not so much that it's annoying and painful. Your problem was that they seem to have configured the tone exactly to the point where it's acoustically impossible to locate which fire alarm it is.
Yeah, because it throws itself, like throwing a voice when people can do that, it throws itself like yelling in a canyon, that second echo. You can't tell where is that? It's way over there. Is it? I don't know. We have to wait for the next one. Okay, how long does that take? I don't know. It feels like 20 minutes, but it's probably like one. Oh, beep! There it is. Okay, wait. Was it that way? See, I'm telling you, there's a better way. There is a better way.
Because what happens in our house is it happens in the middle of the night, because it always is in the middle of the night somehow. And so I get up in the middle of the night and I get out like a wobbly computer chair underneath each one, one at a time.
Yeah.
And I stand underneath it. I'm half asleep and about to fall off of this thing. I stand underneath it and wait.
Yep.
And I think, and it takes so long between chirps. And so it's like, beep. And oh, it wasn't that one.
Yeah.
And
if you want a good example of a boiling pot never boils, or a watched pot never boils, that whole thing, a watched alarm never beeps. And it does, but it doesn't beep as quick as you think it's going to beep. So you think you're standing there in your socks on a wobbly chair for 25 freaking minutes, when really it's been like a minute.
If it would just do it like every 5 seconds, that would also be better. Same noise.
Or just go, rear, 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 and then I'll find it, and it's loud, and it won't make me sleep, and it's not whispering sweet nothings in my ear. I'm telling you, look, emailer, B, I love you as well. He said love B at the end, and I love you. I do. I love you. But I think there's a better way. I do. I think
so BioCow says that it was reading about this and that it has to do with the length of the sound waves. Human ears are about 12 inches apart, ideal for identifying the duration of mid-tone sounds. So
wait,
are you
my
supposed
ears are
to
a
be
foot
able
apart?
To identify it more easily? Because it doesn't work.
No, I agree. I agree with you. But I understand the thinking. Also, are my ears really a foot apart? That doesn't sound right. Is that true?
Hold on. I've got a ruler here. Hold on.
I mean, I have a big head, so this might be true.
I thought I had a ruler.
I don't have anything either. I thought I did, too. I have this cool controller that people at Scorn sent me. Look at this, dude. You'll like this. Look at this controller. What do you think of this?
Whoa.
Yeah. It came in a flesh box back there. You can't see it, but... Scorn is this new video game. Scorn is on Game Pass, so you can actually check it out pretty easily. But it's and Steam and other stuff. But basically, it's a very gross kind of body horror game. It reminds me of Geiger, who else? Who did Books of Blood? Clive Barker, and besides H.R. Geiger, who am I thinking of? Third one. The guy who made Existenz and all the body horror movies. I can't think of his name. The Fly and stuff. Anyway, that guy. If those three guys got together and pushed a baby out of their collective vaginas, this would be the control, the game they would make, and the controller they would make work with it. This is hard to see in focus, but there it is. Isn't that cool? Just showed up in the mail. Anyway, that wasn't the point. We were trying to measure our heads. 12 inches, yeah, I believe it.
I'm holding this 6-inch ruler, and it goes a little past the middle of my forehead from the ear, and so
okay.
12 inches about right.
This is news maybe to me. 10. I don't know why I thought. I would have said 8 inches is what I would have said. For whatever reason, 8 inches sounded right to me, and
giving yourself a pretty generous 8 inches.
Yeah, I guess that's all I'll say about that. all right, moving on to anyway, if you guys have your own thoughts or feelings on this thing, themorningstream@gmail.com, or you can text your follow-ups even right now and do it in real time if you want. I'll check them as the show goes on. You can do it at 801-471-0462. It is now time for the news. It's the news, and it's brought to you by Skeletor, who was in my dream last night. This is a weird one. All right. So are you sitting? Bobby, you're sitting, right?
I am.
Okay.
Yes.
For those of you who remember Daryl Skeels on the show, used to do a bunch of Star Trek stuff with us, and then he just sort of bailed.
Evaporated.
Just had other stuff come up or whatever. Anyway, we're still, there was never any dark business.
He became the, what is it? The Wanderer? What is that? What did the Wesley?
Oh, the Wanderer. The Traveler. Yeah, the Traveler.
Traveler. That's what Daryl did. He became the Traveler.
Yeah, the guy with the weird nose. Not that Daryl has a weird nose, but the guy in that Star Trek episode did. But anyway, Daryl, who we're still quite fond of and friends with and all that, there's nothing weird there, just disappeared and didn't come around anymore. So this seemed a little bit weird, since I don't deal with him on the weekly or the daily anymore, that he would be in the stream. And this is how he ended up in my dream. In the dream, I'm chasing Skeletor. I'm not He-Man, though, in this dream, but I'm chasing Skeletor. I'm just myself. But he had to be stopped. You know, he's up to no good. He's causing all sorts of shit. You know, saying one-liners and then running off, that kind of thing. So I was after Skeletor, just trying to track him down. And I finally did. And at the end of the dream, right before I woke up, maybe it was the ramen that did this. I don't know. I didn't say it on the show. It was pre-show. I had some weird ramen, everybody, and it made me weird. Anyway, we pull his skull mask off, which I don't even think is a thing. I think he's supposed to be a skull.
Right.
In the cartoon, but in this version, it was like a covering. So we pull that thing off, and underneath that is Daryl Skeels.
Oh my gosh.
Just looking at me. Yeah. He didn't say anything, though. But if he could say something, let's pick something that he might have said. Let's see.
1930?
Hold on. Why can't I find anything with Daryl's name? Okay, there we go. How about this? Let's see. We could do
1930.
It could have been this.
Blasters and guns say pew pew, but phasers say zert, zert.
See, that would have been great.
Yeah.
That would have been good.
Yeah, because he's giving you a little nugget of a fact, fun fact.
Yeah. Or
that's what you want when you take off Skeletor's mask.
This could
fun fact.
It could have been this nightmare scenario here.
I can barf and talk at the same time. Yeah.
Oh Lord.
Oh my god. That's more of a villainous thing, right?
That is so. Very villainous. That seems like something Skeletor would do. Anyway, very weird dream. And I hope I never have it again. Let's move on to this news story here. All right. So, you know, cops are always trying to find the drugs. That's their deal. You know, they want the drugs.
Taking pictures of it.
Yeah.
While they're standing in behind it.
Yeah. That way the news has something they can show as a little B-roll while they're talking about the drugs that were confiscated, is the word you would normally use.
Yeah.
Well, officers found $402,000. It's a weirdly specific number. Of liquid meth, which I didn't know was a thing. I thought, maybe Breaking Bad is just too prominent in my head, but I didn't know you could do a liquid version of methamphetamine. Makes sense, though, right? You're a scientist. You know, you're a science podcaster. Would you?
Well, anything can be a liquid.
Is that true? Anything?
If you heat it up enough.
That's true.
It can turn into a liquid.
I'll tell you what, bad ramen.
Solid liquid gas.
Yeah, that's true. All right, so.
And it's a crystal, so meth is a crystal, so it could, yeah. It starts as a liquid, and then you...
Oh, and then you crystallize it.
Yeah.
Oh, that's right, because they put the blue baking pans or whatever in Breaking Bad. So it starts as liquid, then they harden it, and it turns into that candy-looking blue stuff.
And it's one giant sheet, and then they bust it up.
Right, right, right. For the record, I've never partaken in any sort of methamphetamine. I have no idea what it's like. No idea. So I come to this as a complete meth virgin. Okay.
Yeah.
I don't know anything about it. Anyway, officers with... I missed the important part. This is all liquid meth hidden inside condom-filled pumpkins. Ooh, spooky Halloween story. Ooh.
Condom-filled pumpkins.
Yeah, so
not just in the pumpkins or just in the condoms, but they put it in the condoms and then in the pumpkins.
Then into the pumpkins. Okay. That's where you hide them, see? Officers with U.S. Customs and Border Protection, the CBP, rather, seized 44 pounds of liquid meth that was hidden inside condoms packaged with pumpkins. Let's see, this is on Tuesday, officers, last Tuesday, with the BP, keep saying PB for some reason, the Office of Field Operations at the Eagle Pass Fort Entry encountered a 2012 Ford Escape. I don't know why the year and the make matter. I don't get that, but whatever. Arrived from Mexico.
In case you wanted to build a model of the scene.
Is that like a little diorama? I like that.
Yeah.
Vehicle was referred for a second inspections. Officers discovered 44 pounds of alleged liquid methamphetamine inside 136 condoms that were packaged inside four pumpkins. The drugs and vehicles were seized. They weren't sieged. There was no sieging. Seized, and the driver and passenger of the vehicle were turned over to the Maverick County Sheriff's Office. Maverick. That was a terrible whistle. Let's see. Our frontline CBP officers have seen just about everything, and this Tuesday was no exception as they encountered this liquid meth hidden within pumpkins, says Acting Port Director Elizabeth Garduno. Eagle Pass Port Entry said in the release they utilized their training, experience, interviewing skills, and uncovered a rather novel narcotic smuggling method in the process.
Interviewing skills.
Yeah. You know, you gotta say, all right, is this your first, meth, border meth?
I wonder how they do on America's Next Top Podcaster.
Yeah, they probably, well, it depends if they flame out like some people did last year.
So 136 condoms, four pumpkins, that's 34 meth-filled condoms per pumpkin. How many condoms do you think you could fit into a pumpkin?
Oh my gosh, in one pumpkin, but with meth in the things, or just loose condoms?
Well, I'm sure you could put a lot more than like packaged condoms, a lot more than 34 in a pumpkin.
Yeah, that's true. You could probably pack thousands in there if you did it right. I don't know if they're full of stuff like this. And it doesn't say what the capacity of the balloons are, because I've filled some water balloons before. You can get them pretty big, pretty plump. But you wouldn't want to go too big.
What size condoms are we talking about here?
Well, magnums. Let's say magnums.
Okay.
Or whatever they're called. I don't know what they call them. The ones for the big boys, you know. Right. I feel like some people buy those just so they can say that's what they buy, but they don't actually need them that big. You know what I'm saying? I could be wrong, but...
It's like, you know... You know how like women's sizes go down to zero?
Yeah.
It's like the other way around for condoms.
Yeah, nobody wants to admit, I need the little tight ones. You have those?
They name them. There's no small condoms. They're just like, they start at large.
Yeah. As the old saying goes, there are no small.
And enormous.
Yeah, enormous.
I'll have a pack of the enormous condoms.
Yeah, I'd like the biggest you got in there. Yeah, nobody asks for small ones. The old phrase is... There are no small condoms, only small men.
That's the phrase, huh?
That's the old term, you know?
That's the old saying.
Yeah, I feel like it needs to be revived a little here in 2022. Anyway, the meth was worth an estimated $402,196.
How do they get that number? Like,
I don't know.
Is there like a website you can go to get the, what's the running rate of meth on the street? Like,
maybe the
they ask people?
Maybe the CBP has some expert who does like this exact thing. Like they weigh it and then they go, all right, street value is currently this. They do the...
But that's what I want to know. How do they know the street value?
Oh, probably just like you said. They probably find out from just other, I don't know, like other arrests or knowing what the drug market's like. I don't know how you do that,
just
actually.
Just the last time they heard meth being sold, I guess.
Yeah. Also, when you
sold at this price.
So what do you do with these? Okay, someone takes delivery of all the pumpkins. They're loaded with condoms that are loaded with meth liquid. Now what? You know? Do they take them and then and now they're are they the final mile? Are they the ones that go, all right, get out the sheet, the cookie sheets. We're going to make the blue meth like, you know, like they do on Breaking Bad. Or do they take these things and inject them? Is it an injectable drug even? Can I snort some liquid? Is that that's probably bad. I know nothing.
Much like you, I don't know all. My entire knowledge of meth is all Breaking Bad.
I think that's probably true for a lot of middle class white guys is my guess. Is we just don't know. How do we know?
My wife, I think, knows a little bit more. She's a pharmacist, and they had like some sort of DEA person or something come in and show how meth was made. They just left one of the steps out, which I still to this day don't know why. Like, as a pharmacist, how is that benefiting you?
Yeah, I don't know how that helps. That's weird.
Yeah.
Well, okay, chat. Someone in the chat says you smoke it, but you don't smoke it in liquid form. I guess you could put it in vape pens or something. And then
maybe.
Yeah. But doesn't that have to be like an oil? I don't know. I don't understand these things.
I don't know how vape works either.
Well, vape is like they're the little e-pen, and they have a. I started this as if I knew, and now I'm going to stop because I don't know. I don't know.
You were like, well, let me tell you, Bobby.
I have no idea. Also, I would have thought, I don't know, I think it has to be in a thicker, almost solid form in a pen to then be vaporized. Or maybe that's not true. Can you shake a
pen? It's probably easier to turn a liquid into a vapor.
Oh,
since
see,
that's what a vapor is.
Science again, man. The science. I don't know what to do with it all. Well, anyway, good luck to them, and I hope whoever got the pumpkins or whoever was going to get those pumpkins isn't disappointed that they were full of meth. They probably threw those away, right?
Would you be disappointed?
I mean, what would you do? Okay, you're Border Patrol. You just received all this. The drugs obviously have to be taken into custody.
Yeah.
You know, you confiscate the drugs, take them out of circulation. What do you do with the pumpkins? Do you throw them?
I assume the pumpkins have to. They're part of evidence as well, right?
Oh, is that true? See, then now you got a real problem because now you're stacking some holding cell or not holding cell, whatever the evidence room or whatever, with a bunch of pumpkins. That's a nightmare.
And those aren't going to last. Everybody who puts a pumpkin on their front porch knows that those rot pretty quick.
Yeah, you want a stinky nightmare in your life? Have an old pumpkin around. Do that, or a meth user. Either one. all right, moving on. Hey, I don't know if you heard about this. I know everybody else and their dog did. I don't want to skip this one. Never mind. Here's a different story. I'm doing this one. Police got a spooky 911 call from an empty funeral home.
Ooh.
It's not unusual for police to dispatch or for their dispatchers to answer 911 calls only to have the caller hang up. It happens in Pueblo earlier this month. So it's a Colorado story. Brian, if you're there listening. Let's see. What happened next may strike some as a little spooky. On August 11th, I don't know why we're hearing about it now. Well, because it's Halloween. Pueblo Police Department Communications Center got a call they referred to as an abandoned 911 call at 3:28 a.m. And it sounded a little bit like... Hold on. This.
Ow.
Just kidding. That's ours. I kid. I joke. But I do have a link to the actual call. We're going to see if we can play it. Let's see here. We may have to listen to some stupid news first. Okay, here we go. Let's see what we get out of this. Okay, why is it not running? Is it because I have an ad blocker? Probably. Okay, how about we just... Okay, let's change the... Okay, great, CBS News. You've ruined my day, and I can't... Damn it. Okay, let me turn off shields for this page. Fine. If they subject me to an ad, I'm going to be so mad. Ah, it doesn't work. Gosh dang it. That's the whole fun of this story is to play the call.
The build-up and the letdown. Ugh.
I know. Oh, here it is. Okay, I got audio version. Okay. Let me crank this up so we have some volume. All right, here we go.
111, this is Erica. How can I help you? Hello?
Jim. Hello?
There's a...
Hey, you're whispering.
Yeah.
Hello?
Like a,
Can you hear him going, Jim, 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 Jim?
Yeah. Maybe that's people in the dispatch center, though.
It could be. Or is it?
It's more fun to imagine that it's...
It could be a
whispering
ghost
at the cemetery.
See, right now I'm a little freaked out. I'm looking around my studio. It's a little dark in here. I'm a little freaked out. Not really.
So is a cemetery a funeral home?
Mortuary. Yeah, yeah.
Mortuary?
Yeah.
So I guess the creepy thing is that it happened at night and that no one was there.
Correct.
It's not that the funeral home was abandoned and then...
Right. It's not like we know that old Farmer Jones murdered someone there and now it's all, you know, we don't have any of that. We just know it's probably, like they said in the chat, they said somebody probably butt dialed. But why would it be the number of the mortuary, though? That's not a butt, unless they're using just cell phones for their phones. I don't know. All I know is I'm playing Mortuary Simulator, Mortuary Assistant, and that game is scary as hell. And now I have to question whether I'm playing more of that or not.
Oh, is that one of those like that game that mixes like horror and chorecore together?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
There's a story and you're supposed to be doing chorecore at the same time, which I'm used to. I like doing that. Like here, I'll give you a taste of this. I did a little bit of this the other day and I recorded 7 minutes of it.
I mean,
seven.
I don't know. Maybe this will be fine.
Okay. Hold on.
Dead person.
Rebecca,
oh, shit. Great. Perfect
timing. Okay.
What do you look? Why is your wallpaper?
Anyway, it's a great video. You should go watch it. It's on YouTube. And if you want to see why that game shouldn't be allowed to be in people's hands, you can check it out for yourself. It's also supremely frustrating. Like the actual chorecore part of it is hard and frustrating. And I think that it's on purpose. I think they did that to make it, because most of these games, they try to gamify things like flipping houses or power washing a car, or whatever the chore core is. They gamify it in such a way that it's actually fun and kind of addicting and all of that. The actual chore core in this game is hair-pullingly frustrating.
I bet you it is on purpose because they want you to focus on like, oh, I gotta figure this out. And so you're really focused on getting the task done and then they can jump in with the jump scares.
Yeah, it's really, I mean, I that's why I put a 7.5 minute supercut up and not the whole video, because that was 2 hours of me fiddling with the freaking mechanics of the damn game, and then intermittently something terrible would happen, like a corpse would sit up and go hello, or you know, whatever they did.
That doesn't sound scary at all.
It's a weird game, dude.
Hello.
Yeah. Hello. I'll be your guide. All right, so there's that, and then now finally this story. BTS, you know, you're familiar with the K-pop band BTS.
Do we know what BTS stands for?
Yeah, it's for buttered toast starving. I think
better than Cezra.
Better tan Saul. No, that's not it. Beat Terry Scrimshaw. I have no idea what it stands for. I'm sure it means, oh, big taco sizzle. No, what does the chat say? Behind the scenes, blind torture sizzle. No, better than Spice Girls. But taco salsa. I don't like that one at all. Anyway, whatever it stands for, they are now going to be serving in the South Korean military and regroup as a band in 2025. The BTS Army, which is a significant, formidable bunch of human beings who
they do already have a military experience.
Yeah, exactly, right? So they'll be fine. They're in the BTS Army now.
Yeah.
Anyway, they got to serve their mandatory military duties under South Korean law. Their management company said a week ago Monday, effectively ending a debate on whether they should be granted exemptions because of their artistic accomplishments. Somebody told me it was going to hit the economy of South Korea to the tune of like $9 billion to have them not around doing things.
Yeah, because I just thought of that too, because my first thought was, of course they shouldn't be exempted just because they're superstars. But no, like, I guess that is a question that they have to consider, because it's a big big source of economic stuff. I don't know what the words are, but they get a lot of money from just how we export a lot of our media. That's a big source of income, I'm sure, for them.
Yeah, plus I can't think of any other time where a boy band, I know that they don't like to be called, I know that fans don't like that term, but a band made of young boys and men is not
like Boys to Men.
Like Boys to Men or Backyard Men or no, what was that called?
Backyard Men.
What was that called? Backstreet Boys is what I meant.
There you go.
Backyard Men. Don't listen to Backyard Men. That's bad.
I think we should start our own band, our own boy band, and call it Backyard Men.
I'm in. Yep. Brian is in. You're in. Let's get all the Bill. Everybody can be a part of Backyard Men, except Nicole. She'll be our manager. Anyway, that's not unusual over here. We got a lot of, you know, boy band experience. But I don't think any have had the sizable impact that BTS thing has over there or here or anywhere. Like it is a legitimately monstrous thing. And in a way, it's like too many eggs in one basket, because when you have this law that says everybody has to go do this at a certain age, and they're willing to do it, by the way, they're like, yeah, we're, this is what we do. We support our country. We do it. I mean, they're not like being weird about it. They're ready to go. It's just that when you have that many eggs in that basket economically, it feels a little weird, you know? Like this would be like us. If Taylor Swift stops doing music, the U.S. government will be brought to its knees. It's weird. Just a weird thing, you know, to have that crossover like that. But anyway, they're going. They're going. Big hit music. Oh, it's big hit music. No. That's their, sorry. That's their, that's a
BTS big hit.
Big
music.
Hit music. You know, rings a bell. Chat room said the actual thing. Where is it? Let's see. The septet's name, BTS, stands for the Korean phrase Bangtan Soyonnada. Bangtan Soyonnada, literally meaning bulletproof Boy Scouts. Why aren't they BBS? Because then they'd be a bulletin board service, and then
Bulletproof Boy Scouts is kind of a cool name. I'm in. I think.
I think I like that too. I like it better. But BBS means you're going to log in with your 44K modem and download some GIFs. You know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Some GIFs of hot Korean men.
Hot Korean men who have to serve in the military, making them even hotter. Anyway, they're no longer going to delay this. They're going. So. I think BTS people are a little bit sad about it, and I wish them well. You know, I've never seen anyone stand like they do. They're the standiest of all stands. It's insane. And more power to you. I don't quite get it, but it's okay. It's like Brian's love of the Spice Girls. I don't really get it, but I respect it, and I think it's great, and he should love them. It's like me and Mad Max. Who else talks about that thing like I do? Nobody. But it's okay.
Literally nobody.
Literally no one, as they say on social media too much. All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, Bill Duran himself will be here. We have an email for him, which we'll get to. But after that, some other stuff too. So we got things coming up. Oh, and we'll talk a little science, even though you're just here as a guest host today. You'll also, you know,
Something. If we have time for it, I've got something.
Absolutely, I think that'd be great. In the meantime, I'm going to break for a song, and boy, it would have been good if I thought of this before. What music am I going to do today? Oh, I know what I'm going to do. I found a cover. I actually told Brian about it separately outside of the show, but I'm going to go ahead and play because I liked it so much. I was watching The Handmaid's Tale, catching up on it. Great show. Although they may as well call it what's her name? The actor plays June. Can't think of her name. Main actor. She's huge. She's in lots of things. Can't think of her name.
Keep stalling.
Anyway, that
Elizabeth
lady.
Moss.
Elizabeth Moss, thank you so much. They may as well call this show Elizabeth Moss Stares at the Camera, because there's a lot of that.
Or this season, Elizabeth Moss gets creepily angry.
Yeah, gets really mad, and then the camera's just above her brow line, and she looks all evil as she stares into the camera. And then they play cool covers like this one. This is Chain from The Handmaid's Tale. Oh, come on, Scott. Where's the actual artist? I want to give credit here. Oh, Poopy Mascoopy. I can't find it. Oh, recently played. Here we go. Okay. Chain. Nope. That's Pink Floyd. I got that up there. The Tarzan thing. Okay, that's cool. Here we go. Nope. That's Hiroshima that Brian told me about. They're awesome. Or that song's awesome. Let's see. Nowhere Generation. Well, I can't find it. So, you know, the problem with having a three-year-old around the house all the time is this is full of Disney soundtracks, and it bumps all my stuff down. So
Icor just blew my mind and said that Elizabeth Moss was President Bartlett's daughter.
Oh, yeah.
I forgot that.
Totally. That was her first big deal, and then off to Mad Men, and then everything else since then.
Yeah.
And she's very good. She's just, boy, she's sternly staring at everything now. That's her deal.
I think this show has won this or maybe one more season, because I think they're playing their last card, which is they're really trying to milk the most out of angry Elizabeth Moss.
Oh yeah. Get her while she's hot. And I think this might be it. This is the final season, I think, season 5.
Is it officially the final?
I don't know if it's official. I don't know. It's probably a good time. I feel like they're getting to a place. But who's really good in this thing is Stravinsky, or whatever her name is, the blonde lady from Chuck. I can't think of her name. Yvonne Stravinsky. Is that it? She's amazing. She's really good. Anyway, we'll play this song. This is by an artist who's awesome, whose name I don't know. And it's a version of Chain, or The Chain, or Break the Chain, or however the hell the original went from Fleetwood Mac. This is that version of that. We're going to play it now. And when we come back, Bill and much more. So stick around. We'll be right back.
This It's not a boy hole or a girl hole or a lady hole. It's a man hole. Men go down to work there.
Welcome to Surfing for Seniors, an introduction to the internet.
The Morning Stream.
I was born without a conscience.
And we're back. That was a Chain cover from a band I don't know.
You guys will know, though.
See, now you look, Brian leaves for a hot 5 minutes, and I don't know what the frick's going on with music ever. He's really good at it. I'm bad at it. Anyway, I know I like that song, so that's all I can tell you. All right, Bobby, it's time. It's time to bring in the guy, the man, the myth, the Punished Props founder and lover of all things making. Really, I'm just killing time while I add him to the thing. All right, here we go. Here's his deal.
Your bat cave's open there, Bill.
Bill Duran joining us all the way from punishedprops.com. You know where that is? Well, it's somewhere in the Pacific Northwest. We're not going to get specific here. Why would we do that? But it's Bill Duran joining us. Hi, Bill. How are you?
Hello. Just hanging out here, me and Sasquatch.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hiding in the woods and somewhere vaguely near Seattle.
I got a friend. I don't know if I've ever told you this. I got this friend who we're not that good of friends, but I know him. Anyway, he's a professor now at Brigham Young University in Provo, kind of a big shot over there. And every fall, he flies up to where you live and looks for Bigfoot with his dad.
Oh.
Yeah. And I'm just going to say, I feel like somebody who believes that hard in Bigfoot, who's willing to go there every time and they think this is the time we're going to catch him. Mm-hmm. I feel like he shouldn't be allowed to teach at a college level, you know?
And do I don't. Do you think it's just for fun, though? There's got to be some people who just go and do that just for fun.
Well, having talked to him at length, he wholeheartedly believes that Bigfoot exists, and his dad is really into it. And all growing up, he grew up out in Seattle area somewhere, and all growing up they were convinced of it. They thought they had photos a bunch of times. They bought into every sighting they heard about. Like, they're kind of hardcore about it now. Could things have changed? He doesn't teach anything like science or anything. He teaches advanced physical education, I think, whatever that ends up being in a college level. I don't know what you actually do.
Advanced physical education, like chasing down, tracking Bigfoot.
Yeah, or having lots of hair physically, you know? I don't know. It's weird, but good luck to him. Anyway, Bill, you've never seen anything out in the woods, right? Anything worth noting? Okay. No. See?
I've seen things in the woods, Scott, but not a Bigfoot.
Oh, that's good to know. Real quick, I have an email for you before we get going today. You ready for this? It's not what I warned you about, but it's not hard either. So,
okay,
here you go. Hi, guys, says Charles. Did Bill lose a finger making something? I could have sworn, although he said I could have soared, I heard it somewhere. I think he meant sworn. Maybe you can ask him on the show. Love the show, Charles. Well, Charles would like to know, have you lost a finger? I feel like you told us a story, but I think it was about a friend who lost his finger.
I still have all my fingers, thank goodness. I haven't had anything close to that level of danger. Yeah. My worst injury was a hot glue gun. I burned the palm of my hand with a lot of hot glue.
Yeah,
that's probably the worst I've done.
Are you like...
But no, my buddy Jimmy DiResta cut off his pinky on a table saw quite a few years ago, and they stuck it back on.
Oh, he's still he's got it. Okay, yeah, that's cool.
You can tell.
Yeah.
But no, he's pretty okay about it.
That's awesome. So you never come close, as far as you know, to whacking a finger off?
No, I'm especially with things like a table saw, I am just like extremely paranoid and super safety conscious.
That's good. There's nothing wrong with that. So that's a good, so we have two things here. One, Charles, you got the wrong guy. And two, be safe. Always be safe. All right.
Mm-hmm. Think about the best advice is think about the task you're doing right now.
Yeah.
When your mind starts to wander to the next task and you stop focusing on what you're doing, that's when you get hurt.
There you have it. All right. Mm-hmm. One final thing I wanted to mention from Troy. We got one that said, "Hey, Snoot and Boop. I was wondering if it would be too much trouble. Could you please add Bill's YouTube recommendations to the quicktms.li site as well? I'm often out walking or running and listening and forget where it was by the time I get back home. Thank you both for being shining beacons of fun and frivolity. Warm regards, Troy." Yeah, we're going to start doing that. Brian's set it up so that the daily posts that we do there, like for recommendals, songs that Brian's played, although today I don't know what he's going to do for my horrible song selection. But anyway, we'll include Bill's stuff on Tuesday as well when he gives us a YouTube recommendation. So
cool.
Thanks for the suggestion. We're doing it. All right, Bill, let's get to the point here. You've been working on some stuff. What's going on that we can be inspired about?
Yeah, so I'm working on a project using brass, and I wanted to talk about brass. I started using it more and more, and I want to be a brass advocate today.
All right.
I want to encourage more people to dip their toe in the metalworking world. I really love the material. I get brass from a variety of sources. So probably one of the best places to start. You ever go into a hobby store and they've got a display there of K&S brass with like tubes and
yeah, I always stuff? Wondered about that. They're almost like dowel rods type looking right. brass. Yeah,
that's such that. A great place to start. It's smaller pieces. It's thinner. It's cheap. And they have so many options as far as shapes and all that.
What is brass from a like a metallurgic standpoint? Is it like a pure mineral? Is it tin with a color? I don't know where brass comes from. Do you know?
It's mostly copper and zinc.
Okay.
Yeah, but there are different alloys as well and different mixtures and combinations with other stuff in there.
Sure. Interesting. Okay. I was just curious.
If other places to get it, hardware stores have some options, usually not great. You can find a lot of stuff on Amazon, but it's kind of hard to search for specifically what you want. And then I use a website called Online Metals, and that's a metal supplier. So you can just type in the alloy, the type of metal, the size, the shape, like you can find exactly what you want there.
That's cool.
So there's tons of options.
What was that called again?
Online Metals.
Online Metals. That's cool.
Yeah.
All right.
And it's a Seattle company too, which is great. Cause when I order stuff from there, it shows up the next day.
Yeah.
And then there's tons and tons of forms. In fact, if you go to the Online Metals website and search, you'll see a drop-down menu of all the different shapes you can get in lots of different dimensions and sizes. So you can get a solid bar or rod in a variety of shapes, like round or half round or square, rectangular, hexagon. You can get tubes of various shapes. You can get wire. It comes in so many forms.
Ooh, you can get titanium from them. It sounds
heck
expensive.
Yeah,
that's cool. Awesome.
What's great though is like if you know kind of what you're making, you can order the material to be almost already that size and shape. There's so many options out there. The alloys, if you're just getting started, you probably don't need to worry too much about it. If you buy the brass at the hobby store, you're just going to get whatever they have. Mm-hmm. If you do a lot of machining, though, you might want to get like C360. It's a specific alloy that's considered good for machining. Mm-hmm. But it's just worth being aware of if you're going to go buy brass. If you have a specific purpose, you might need to get a specific alloy.
Is it weird? I kind of want to buy a bar of titanium from these people. Is that weird? It's a little weird.
No, I have like there's something about a heavy hunk of metal.
Yeah,
I found like just some chunks of steel on the side of the road on a walk, and I just kept them. They're just these rusty, gnarly chunks of steel, but they're just
there's something about it. I don't know what it is about big.
I have an
metal.
Ingot of pewter that I have on my desk.
Is it part of the whenever you say pewter, I think it's like the Civil War reenactment set, only available from whatever. I was always commercials for that when I was growing up.
Oh yeah, ingots are awesome. I want more things stored in ingots.
Same.
Yeah.
You know, that's why you like Factorio so much. You're making ingots all day.
That's right.
Yeah, it's good stuff. Anyway,
now the reason I wanted to encourage people to get into working with brass is because it's actually easier than you might think, especially if you're working with something smaller or thinner. Some of the thinner sheets of brass you could just cut with tin snips.
Mm-hmm.
You can do a lot of the work you might need to do with pretty basic tools. A rotary tool will help you grind or shape or drill holes or even cut your metal. And then you can attach it all with solder. You can just use... there's all sorts of different ways to solder. And if you want to solder brass or braze brass, you should look it up. But you can basically just glue metal together with other metal. And it's really fun and very satisfying.
I'll bet. Oh my gosh. So, does it rust? Does brass rust? Or is that the point?
It will tarnish, yeah.
Okay.
It'll be more of a greenish tarnish.
Is that what happened to the they always talk about how the original Statue of Liberty was what color? It's green now, so it would've
been copper. Yeah, it was originally more like an orangey copper.
But yeah, then it now it's all weird right and away. Green. And when you see that original version of it in a color photograph, which are rare, but if you see that, it's shocking. It's like, is that even the same damn thing? And also, I just want to tell everybody, if I don't know if you've noticed this, if you zoom in and crop out just the face of Lady Liberty, she looks like Elvis. She has an Elvis
a little
face.
Bit.
Yeah. Just something I noticed. I don't know what the French were doing, but, you know, thanks for the gift. Anyway.
You said gluing metal with other metal. Isn't that, am I wrong about this? Isn't that essentially what welding is taking two pieces of metal and turning them into one piece?
Right. Welding does do that. Brazing does not. Brazing, the filler material does not melt the base material at all. So it is closer to a glue.
Okay.
Whereas welding will melt the base material and the filler material, and they will become the same piece of material.
Interesting.
So, brazing is way easier. You need just a blowtorch and some solder. And it's actually surprisingly strong, but it's not going to give you the same strength as a weld. But if you're making like little sculptures out of brass, then that doesn't matter.
Yeah.
One of my very favorite things you can do with brass is you can etch it with acid. It's friggin' awesome. You basically make a stencil on your brass or a resist of some kind that will block the acid, and then you dunk it in ferric chloride and it will just eat away everything else. This is a great way to make really tiny, intricate things out of brass. In fact, this is the way a lot of pieces were made for spaceship model parts. Excuse me, from when they did that to make movies.
Oh, that's cool.
They would make really intricate little pieces and panels out of brass that were really thin by acid etching it.
That's so cool. Have you done any of that yet? Is that something you're going to do?
I sure have.
Yeah?
I made a Hellboy bullet, and the casing is made out of brass. And to put the text on the back of it, I made a little stencil and soaked that part in acid. And it etched the letters into it. And it looks so legit.
If you decided to go full serial killer, you'd have all the cool stuff you need. You know that? You'd have everything. You got all the acid. You got like weird tools. You got metal crap you could use. You got
lots
scary
of plastic
swords.
Lots of plastic sheeting.
Yeah, but you put yourself in your N7 freaking armor, you'd be pretty formidable. Show up in some grandma's garage and, you know, I don't know, you're ready to go is all I'm saying. I'm not saying you need to fall back on that, but it's Halloween. We can dream.
All right.
It's perfect response. All right. Very cool. So end game is what for this? What are your big plans?
I'm building this this brass butterfly from Arcane. And I'll have to do a bunch of different operations. I'll do some machining, I'll do some turning on the lathe. And I'm going to be doing some soldering as well. I got some of the tubes I got. They're round tubes. They all nest perfectly into one another. They're telescoping.
Yeah,
it's really neat. So I'll use those to make the legs. It's gonna be fun.
That's very cool. I can't wait to see it. Sounds like a video forthcoming. So keep your eyes on punishprops.com, you guys, because that will show up there. All right, the aforementioned bonus link. What do you have for us this week?
This is an older video that Adam Savage made over on Tested. He made a watering can out of brass. And if you're interested in learning about working with brass, it's a great video to watch. He takes flat sheets and folds them and bends them and solders them together and makes a watering can. And it's very enlightening.
Oh, that's awesome. I heard the podcast ended. Is that true?
Yeah. This is only a test. It's hit its run. They did like 10 years of them or something.
Yeah, it was a long time. I really enjoyed that show. Sad to hear it was going, but pretty cool. Go check that out. The Tested YouTube channel still going strong. And you guys can go check out what Adam is doing over there, who looks like he's in great shape these days. I need to find out what he's eating. I gotta get on that.
Having seen him in the last couple of months, I would say that Adam is doing great.
Yeah, seems like he's doing great. Well, there you go. It's Bill Duran, everybody. And don't forget, type punishprops.com into your browser and then bookmark it, because there's always something cool going on over there. Or subscribe to the YouTube channel. It's that simple. Bill Duran, everybody. Punishprops.com. Bill, have a good one. We'll talk to you later.
See you later.
I didn't mean to cut him off. I try not to cut off Bill. He's not my favorite to cut off, but I did.
Yeah. All right. Too nice of a guy.
That's right. He is too nice of a guy. Also, another nice guy is this other guest we have on this day that happens to be sitting here co-hosting with us. So we're just going to play his theme anyway because you're here. Why not?
Science.
We're going to do a little science. Hey, Bobby,
yeah.
What did you bring? What science experiment do you have now?
I am going to talk about an experiment, a paper that was written. I'm going to ask you a question first, though.
Go.
What do you know about how science, like in the media, has treated video games and kids?
Science or...
Like how is it portrayed in the media, behind and how and the connection between video games and kids?
Well, even when there's a positive story about science and gaming and how it either affects people or, you know, even if it's a positive story, let's say about problem solving. Okay.
Yeah.
I've seen these before. Even when they do that, it's still draped in, it's still introduced like, you might think video games are just a waste of time or ruining your kids' lives or rotting their brains, but a new study suggests they always frame it like that.
Right.
Hate it.
Assuming that the connection between video games and kids is somehow negative.
You're right, but here's a spin that's positive somehow. Like, that's how they always spin it. I hate it. It's annoying.
Yeah, it always started like with there's some connection between violence and or like behavioral or anger issues or something like that. And then more recently, it's about depression. There's just generally rotting your brain. And then, you know, there's screen time issues and limitations that are a big deal right now, which there is some evidence about that. So I don't want to say that last thing is necessarily wrong or anything. But the point is that when it comes to video games, there's always this negative sort of association, right?
Right.
Well, there's a study that recently was done. It was a study of almost 2,000 children in the U.S. that showed that those who reported playing video games for 3 or more hours per day performed better on certain cognitive skills tests than kids who did not play video games at all.
Oh my gosh, that's pretty good. But see, you didn't start it with video games. Are they a hellscape? Or are they good? Well, a new study. Yeah. See, you didn't do that part. But without that part, this is actually pretty compelling. I'm interested in why the time. Why 3 hours? Why not something else? Why is
that's
that
a good question. The reason that they chose 3 hours a day, because they did break up the participants into only two groups. It was children who reported not playing any video games and then children who played video games for 3 or more hours a day. And the reason that they chose that benchmark or that threshold was because it exceeds the current American Academy of Pediatrics guidelines for video game time for kids of that age. Because the recommendation is 1 to 2 hours a day.
Yeah.
And so they wanted to pick something that was beyond that because they were kind of trying to test the threshold to see if there was anything interesting going on, anything to look at, something that was definitely beyond the recommendation that we could say, what are we seeing beyond that recommendation?
Hmm.
And they found that there might be some. So how did the study actually work? It was done at the University of Vermont Burlington, which
they got the coat factory there, the Burlington coat.
Yeah. That's where they do coat science.
Oh, fantastic, good stuff there. Yeah,
jacket science.
Yeah,
they hats. You always go there. You always see the fedoras being sold there.
Yeah, but now knowing I can go there and find out how video games are good for me, that's really exciting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So they analyzed data from 9 and 10-year-olds that were in the ABCD study, which is the Adolescent Brain Cognitive Development Study.
Hmm.
And what this was is there's a bunch of so there will be studies that are done like this where they find a very large group of kids and they get a bunch of volunteers to, or not just kids, it'll happen in all sorts of different age groups, but it's this idea of you get a large population and you get them to all come in and fill out this big massive survey, and then those people are going to be followed up on over a number of years, right? They're called longitudinal studies,
right?
And
oh, so I didn't know they had a term for that. That's interesting. Never heard of that.
Yep, it's a longitudinal study.
Is there a latitudinal study as well? Like, does it go both ways? Latitude and longitude?
No?
That's where I can't think of anything funny to say in response to that, so yeah, I'm just going to move past
totally
it. That's
totally fine. Just move right by. It's totally good.
So it's the Adolescent Brain Cognitive Development Study. They had a bunch of kids that came in and filled out a bunch of surveys, and they follow up with them with more surveys, with more testing that's done, cognitive testing, fMRI testing that's done. And with these kids, they took some of the, they took 2,000 kids from this study, ages 9 to 10, and they, like I said, broke them up into two groups. No video games at all, according to the survey that they did, and kids who had 3 or more hours a day of video games.
It's a pretty big sample size, by the way, and that seems big. Like more than
yeah, it is.
I expect you to say it was like 28 kids in a room, and it's not. It's much bigger than that.
It's 2,000, and this, which is a lot, which gives the study strength.
I agree.
Because there's more data to look at. And so they evaluated their performance on two tasks. One task reflected their ability to control impulse behavior, and another one tested their ability to memorize information. They also, while they were doing these activities, would look at brain activity and fMRI. Not while they're playing video games, but while they're testing these tasks about impulse control and about memorization. And the results were that, like I said, children in the video games group were faster and more accurate on both of the cognitive tasks. Mm. And in the fMRI results, which are... So an fMRI, for anybody who doesn't know, is just a brain imaging. They can look at what's happening inside the brain.
While they're going, right? They're hooked up
at
the time.
And that's the cool thing about an fMRI is you can look at what's actively happening inside the brain, where activity is during a task.
Right.
They found high activity in regions associated with attention and memory, which makes sense because they were doing a memory task.
Right.
They saw, and it was higher activity in the video games group. In the video games group, they also saw higher activity in frontal brain regions, which are parts of the brain where more cognitively difficult tasks are processed.
Okay.
Right? In the front of your brain, which again, impulse control is a cognitively challenging task. And so the really interesting thing, though, was they saw lower activity in the video games group in regions related to vision.
Oh, weird.
Yeah. And
this is such a majorly visual medium that surprises
exactly.
me.
Exactly. And so they speculate because one thing to know is that low activity in a brain region does not mean that there's a deficit necessarily. It just means that there's lower activity. So you got to wonder why that is. And they speculate, they don't know this for sure, but they speculate that it could be because there's so much video game playing going on, which is a very visual task, that the brain may be more efficient at processing visual information.
Interesting.
It may have learned efficiency.
Hmm. That's interesting. So did they say what kind of games the kids played? Did they get into
that? They did not. That's one of the things that I would like to know more about is what kinds of games. Because certainly there, you, of course, know, and I'm sure most listeners know, that there's a lot of different genres that have different demands.
Oh yeah, like lots. If this is just kids all playing, you know, Call of Duty, that's less interesting to me than if it was a mix of things and there were some puzzle games, maybe some point and click adventure games where puzzle solving is front and center all the time, or you know, that sort of thing, more narrative driven. Yeah. Like I would love to know what that part of this was. That was my.
And that could be maybe a follow up study is looking at. So now we know these things. Now let's just look at gamers in general, and let's look at the differences between the types of games that they play. Maybe there's differences there. No, JC Calhoun asks, no, they did not measure how leet of a gamer they were.
leetness wasn't measured? This is a crock study.
That's going to be a follow-up study, too. Leetness.
Great. Also, you know, I'd love to know if... I don't know how you do this study, but companies, game publishers and developers are always trying to find ways to cut back toxicity in especially multiplayer games, and it's a struggle, right? That's hard to do, and you can do a lot of different kind of tricks and stuff to get people to do certain things. I've been playing a lot of Overwatch 2, and you know, they've got a couple of things going on there. One is they've got AI and analyzing toxic behavior and then coming up with some models based on that. No, I don't know what they're going to do with that machine learning, but that's one thing. They also have the endorsement system at the end of a match. You can endorse your fellow players if they thought they did a good job or whatever. So there's like these little subtle things here and there. But games like that, League of Legends, other competitive style games, notorious for this problem. I'd be curious about like if any of this study leads to further studies to try to trap down some of that. Like what is it about this stuff that brings out that behavior? Is it purely an age range thing and kids are just stupid at that age? Yeah. Or like what are those factors? That's fascinating to me.
Yeah, and I think it's definitely going to lead to more studies because that's one of the things that the paper emphasizes, is that this is just sort of, it's seeing something interesting. They're very careful to say, hey, this, we can't draw any conclusions about this. This is definitely not saying that if you let your kids play for 3 or more hours a day, they're going to have more cognitive skills. First of all, the arrow of causality is not clear here. It could be that if you already score well on these cognitive tasks, maybe you're drawn to video games.
Yeah.
And so it could just be that kids who play video games are already performing really well cognitively and on memory tasks and everything.
Yeah, and this just works that muscle, not muscle, but you know what I mean? That's just like already a thing they do. Sure.
So we don't know what's going on there. If you want to look at causality, because that's these longitudinal studies that just look at like survey data and find correlations with you know, these tests and brain scans and everything, they can't really look at causality because it's such a large population. And it was just data that's being collected and they're just looking for connections.
I want the next study to be, why are tower defense games inherently bad? Because they are. They're bad. And I'd like to know why. I'd like to understand that better.
Yeah.
No offense.
That would be really good for science to answer.
Yeah, I think so. You know what? I don't know what they're sitting around doing, but that's the next thing. Get on that, guys. All right. Well, that's fantastic. I love this stuff. Even when you're hosting, it's just as good. It's good.
One thing, actually, I just thought of. Another interesting thing is that, speaking of what the media usually says about video games, they did find that there was no correlation between lots of video game time and violence, aggression, or depression.
Yeah, most studies up to this point have pointed the other direction, that it might show.
Yeah, they did find that there was a small increase, but it wasn't statistically significant. So in science terms, that basically means if it's not statistically significant, then it's not considered very much. So, and I think that makes sense to me, because any studies that would have shown a correlation, and I'm not saying that there ever were studies that showed a correlation, but any studies that would have shown any kind of a correlation with, say, depression or any mental health stuff was probably very self-selective. As video games become and are now very ubiquitous among kids, everybody plays video games.
Or adults, for that matter, sure.
Or definitely. As they become more ubiquitous and everybody's doing it, you're going to see better data.
I agree.
Because it's not just going to be a certain self-selecting group of kids who are playing video games.
Now, that being said, that will not stop some people from saying, we found out that the shooter had played Doom once. That stuff's still going to happen.
It still happens, right?
So. Yeah, and it's as stupid now as it was then, because everybody's played Doom. Guess what? I haven't killed anybody. No one. Not a soul. Well, except that hooker in Vegas that 1 year. But other than that, I shouldn't have said that out loud.
That had nothing to do with, you were playing Doom with that person.
Yeah, I was playing Doom. It wasn't even, they weren't even working that night. We were just playing, we were playing a LAN game and, you know, one thing led to another and that's all I can tell you. Just kidding. Nobody write that down or call me. It's all made up. I made the whole thing up. All right, let's move on. Nicely done, though. Let's get out of here. Before we do, a couple of things. Play Retro Show is tonight. Play Retro happens at 3:30 Mountain Time, where we do it live. Me and Brian Dunaway will be covering the Resident Evil series today as part of our Halloween lineup for the month of retro gaming. We did Splatterhouse last week and Alone in the Dark the week before that. So we get to the big boy now. We're going with Resident Evil, at least up till Code Veronica. We're not going past that. It's all the, tank control, third person stuff that we're hitting from the PlayStation 1 up through Dreamcast era. So If you want to listen to that, we'll be doing it live at 3:30 Mountain Time right here at frogpants.tv. Or if you like the podcast version better, that's no problem either. That'll go up right after and is available wherever you get your shows. Speaking of which, Bobby has a science show that he should tell people about right now. Bobby, tell me more.
Well, it's called All Around Science. And let me tell you, if you're listening to this, sometimes it's hard to remember to go. And I know it's happening to a lot of you. You're listening to the show on Tuesdays. You hear me talk about the show and you think, I'm going to go and subscribe to that show. And then you forget.
Yeah.
Stop what you're doing. Go right now.
Yeah.
Open up your podcast app. Look for All Around Science and just subscribe. That maybe you don't have time to listen this week, but it'll be there.
Mm-hmm.
Comforting thought that your science episodes will just be delivered to you magically through the magic of the internet automatically every week. But yeah, All Around Science. Every week we just talk about science stuff, fun stuff that we want to talk about in science. This past week we talked about leaded gasoline.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
Yeah. If you live in where my wife's old hometown, you're just now getting unleaded, so you know all about the leaded.
Is that true?
No, it's not true at all.
Okay.
I just like to make fun. I always say.
I think that they may have been breaking some federal law.
Yeah. No. In the two jokes around here are they just got unleaded gasoline and they're all seeing Temple of Doom this weekend because it finally made it to theaters there. Which is just a way of saying they're behind the times. That's all.
That's funny.
And I
but the leaded gasoline story is really interesting. But we talk about why did they take lead out of gasoline? Why was it in there in the first place? And the whole story is full of like corporate intrigue, stories of greed, and one man who was trying to reveal the truth about leaded gasoline. It's a cool story.
Yeah, so check it out. All Around Science, wherever you get your podcasts. This just in, everybody. This just in, if I can find it. We just got a text. I have a question for Bobby, says an anonymous sender. Would he mind still taking the occasional Shadowrun 5e questions?
That's a weird question to get on this show.
Yeah, are you keeping up with the Shadowrun? I know you know for a while there you were
well it's in sixth edition right now. I know that, and I have not been following the sixth edition, and I'm happy to listen to questions. I just might not have an answer for you.
Yeah, if you don't if you've got questions, ask them. Doesn't mean you're going to get
an answer. For those who don't know, my foray into content creation years ago was I made a bunch of content in the Shadowrun tabletop role-playing game. For 5th edition Shadowrun, I made a bunch of videos teaching people how the rules worked.
Yeah, which is good. You should go check it out. We got another one that someone just says, "Hey, Burnham." So I guess there's that. Hey, man, what's up? That is it for today's show. Big thanks, everybody, for listening. And huge thanks to Bobby for hanging out with me. I really appreciate it, man. Thanks again.
Yeah, of course. I love it.
It was awesome. We'll see what tomorrow brings. Hopefully, Brian is feeling better. If not, you might get Bobby twice. Who knows? But if not, we'll have Brian back. And, you know, look, bug him. Send him your online love and your whatnot. I don't mean Bobby. I mean Brian. And you tell him you hope he feels better, all right? Because that'll help, I'm sure. There's science behind that. You know, science, social media posts will make your flu go away. That's my understanding. And I stand by that science. I have nothing to I have no papers to show in support of it, though. In the meantime, though, please support us at our Patreon, patreon.com/TMS. Super easy to find and go and check out. There's lots of reasons to be there. Will you be one of the reasons we do? Wait, that doesn't make sense. Anyway, without you, we can't have a show. So go do it. That's patreon.com/TMS for all other things you might need. You'll find them at frogpants.com/TMS. I think that's going to do it. I'm going to play some kind of Africa cover here on the way out, I think. I think that's what we're doing today. I know.
That is really out of
it's
character
weird.
For you.
It's out of character. It's out of pocket. I'm out of everything. So it's because I didn't plan today for music at all. I didn't even think about it. So, but I like Africa, so I'm going to do that. Maybe it'll be that KK Slider one that everyone hates. Good news is you can skip it. So anyway, that'll all happen. Anyway, we'll be back tomorrow with more TMS. We'll see you then.
This show is part of the Frog Pants Network.
Frog Pants Network.
Get more shows like this at frogpants.com.
I'm here to help.
Oh.